This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Nick Abraham, Communications and Accountability Manager for Washington Environmental Council and Washington Conservation Voters. Washington Environmental Council and Washington Conservation Voters are members of the Environmental Priorities Coalition, a network of over 20 leading environmental groups in Washington State that influence policy at the state level. Nick Abraham is here to tell us how environmental legislation fared in the 2018 Washington State legislative session, which ended March 8th. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Diane.
Would you begin by saying a few words about the Environmental Priorities Coalition?
Yeah, so we've been around for 16 years, and it's some of the leading environmental groups in the state. We're all nonprofit advocates for protecting Washington's health and environment, and we get together so that we can speak with a more cohesive voice and protect the environment with our legislators in Olivia.
Before we speak about legislation, would you characterize the political environment in the 2018 Washington State legislative session?
That's an interesting question. You know, we made a lot of progress this year, and there was a lot of room to talk about environmental issues this time around. So that was really positive. And, you know, I'd say the political environment, we still have a lot we can do. We still have room for improvement and people that we can keep pushing on these issues. But there's a lot of improvement this year.
Before we go into detail, would you give a brief overview of the Environmental Coalition's priorities for the legislative session and how they fared?
So we had four priorities this year. So our first priority this year was water for people, farms, and fish. That was an initiative to try and get more water access for people in rural communities. So this was trying to make sure that folks that are drilling for new wells in their homes have access to clean, healthy water in their communities. The second was around getting toxics out of our food packaging. That's something that Washington led on this year. That was a really important priority, that we were the first state in the country to be able to ban those toxic chemicals. We had an Oil Spill Prevention Act that got through as well that helps protect our shared waters from the dangers of oil spills. And our last piece was climate action this year. And we made a lot of really important progress and pushed that farther than it's ever gone in the Senate before.
What were the key elements of the Oil Spill Prevention Act that passed?
Yeah, that was a really exciting one this year. The main goal here is to try and update and advance what we've been trying to do for a couple of years now. So the Oil Spill Prevention Act helps close an industry loophole that, you know, all the oil coming into Washington State through pipelines was exempt from being taxed. And we just made sure that the oil industry was held accountable to the states. And the reason we wanted to close that is because we have a few dangers in our state that we were not adequately prepared for. So oil coming through barges through Puget Sound were not covered, didn't have adequate protections. We were missing some inspectors across the state to try and make sure that these ships were actually doing all the things they needed to do, and we want more coordination with Canada since there's a lot of oil coming between the nations and making sure that we are all talking and know where that oil is coming from.
Are there additional aspects of the Oil Spill Prevention Act you would like to mention?
So there's a few other pieces. Basically, our system just needed to be modernized. There was a few elements that were just a little bit outdated. We had a lot of protections for tankers, but a lot of the oil moving through our state goes on these smaller ships that need a little bit different type of protections. There is new types of oil that sink, like the tar sands oil coming from Canada. It's just heavier and it requires a very different cleanup and prevention. So we wanted to modernize that, give our state the tools they need to be able to protect everyone in our state.
To what extent will the bill that passed help oil safety in Washington State?
You know, this is a huge move for oil safety. There's a lot of different ways that oil moves through our state. You know, you have it through pipeline. There's a lot coming on tank cars, on the railway. But this is a really big opportunity for us to prevent a huge disaster for Puget Sound. So, you know, we know that one oil spill can have devastating effects. We've seen that in Alaska. We've seen that with the Deepwater Horizon. If one thing goes incredibly wrong, it can completely change this place that we all share and we all love. So what we're really trying to do is put the big protections we know we need in place so that we have a much less chance of something like this happening. You know, there's still room for improvement. You know, there's definitely things we're going to come back for. This isn't the end-all, be-all for sure, but it's a really important step for us to be able to protect this place.
A As you said earlier, the first-in-nation ban on nonstick PFAS chemicals in food packaging passed in this year's Washington State legislative session. Remind us why these chemicals are of concern in paper food packaging, such as microwave popcorn bags and sandwich wrappers.
Yes, it can sound kind of complicated, these toxics that they use to do these things, but basically what these chemicals do is they're nonstick surfaces. So, you know, how you can actually pour all of the popcorn out of the bag comes from these chemicals. But, you know, we've known for quite a long time that they are very carcinogenic. They can cause cancer. They stay in our environment for a really long time. So it takes a long time to get them out of our bodies, out of our water when they seep into there. So this is a really important step, and we're the first state in the nation to be able to ban these types of chemicals. We know there are alternatives that work out there, and this is an opportunity for us to switch over to those things that we know are not going to make us sick.
What precisely does the Healthy Food Packaging Act require?
So this requires that they phase these chemicals out, and it has a provision in there that says, you know, as long as there are adequate alternatives out in the country. So they've given them a pretty lenient date of 2020 that they're going to start assessing if there are alternatives. And then if there are, it's implemented down the line after that. So this is a really big step for our state to be a leader on protecting people's health.
In what ways did the 2018 Washington State Legislature help address climate change?
So there's a few different big important things we tried to do. This is an existential crisis that we have, and we know we have to address this. So we moved a bill to address climate action that was led by the governor to the farthest it's ever been. It didn't quite get where we needed to, but it took some really important steps in the Senate. And if moves aren't made down the line, we know we have leaders that are ready to act and bring this back to a longer session next year. So, you know, there's a few different things that we got passed that are going to help address climate change. We helped secure $380 million for environmental projects across the state. Some of those were things like stormwater protection that are preventing the largest source of pollution going into Puget Sound. Other ones, though, were about energy efficiency, helping retrofit homes, you know, low-income housing to try and get people to be able to afford more efficient appliances, put in their homes, weatherization, all that. But there's also aspects for clean energy projects and trying to invest more and keep Washington a leader on clean energy.
Well, as you said, Governor Inslee's proposed carbon tax didn't make it through the legislature, but remind us of what the bill proposed exactly.
So the bill changed a few different times. It was amended, but the essential pieces of it were charging polluters who are putting emissions out in the atmosphere that we know are causing climate change and are making us sick. You know, these are the same pollutants that are in our air and that are hurting us every day. But this is also a big investment program. So this is taking that money and putting it into things that we know work to reduce emissions. So that's clean energy, that's better transportation options, that's investing in our natural resources so we can store and clean that air better. And it's about making us more resilient to the changes that we know are going to come from climate change.
How far did the bill make it in the legislature?
So it passed through two committees and did not end up getting a vote on the Senate floor. But again, we know we were really close, and this is the farthest that any bill like this has ever gone. So things like this take time, and they're a really big lift, but we know that people in Washington State want this. And so we are prepared to take a number of steps to be able to deliver this for our state.
Would you also say a bit more about the bills that didn't pass that would have helped climate change, other ones in addition to the ones you've already spoken of?
You know, those are the only ones that the Environmental Priorities Coalition worked on. There were other pieces that, you know, other groups prioritize. Like, we know eventually we're going to have to update our renewable portfolio standard in the state. And that's just a requirement that utilities have a certain amount of renewable energy. That date that they are supposed to hit their targets is coming up. And so we know we need to update that. But there was a few other bills that other groups worked on, but these are the ones that we focused on.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Nick Abraham, Communications and Accountability Manager for Washington Environmental Council and Washington Conservation Voters. Our topic is the outcome of environmental legislation in the 2018 Washington State Legislative Session. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Why do you think more progress wasn't made in addressing climate change?
You know, we still have a lot of influence from the oil industry in Olympia, and that's been going on for a long time. It's not unique to Washington. but it's something that we've had to combat for years. And they don't want to see climate action. They don't want to see us hurting their bottom line. So we've taken a lot of steps to try and push back on them. We're getting a lot farther than we ever have. We know we're winning against them. We've seen that across the state. But they're still an incredibly big industry and a really big roadblock for us. And that's why we're keeping other routes open and options to be able to tackle climate change in the state. So, you know, we know we didn't get through the legislature this year, but a number of organizations, some of them are in the Environmental Priorities Coalition, others are around the state. You know, we've filed a ballot initiative to try and put this on ballot in 2018. So we are going to come back to address climate change in a number of ways, and we're not going to give up, and we're not going to let the oil industry push back on us.
Where is the legislature likely to go from here in regard to climate action?
You know, Governor Inslee's been very clear, and so have the lead sponsors like Senator Reuven Carlisle, that they are going to keep at this. If something isn't passed at the ballot this year, they are ready to come back at it in 2018. They've been really clear that they know how important this is, and they know it's something we have to keep coming back on to deliver this first aid.
Well, you said a bit about this earlier, but would you remind us of your sustainable water management priority, your water for people, farms, and fish priority? What was the goal?
You know, the goal is to make sure, pretty simply, that people in every county and every city in our state have access to healthy, clean water. We know that we are starting to deplete some of our water resources, and we know how important that is to agricultural communities, to our salmon runs, to everybody's daily access to water. So there was a Supreme Court decision, the Hearst decision, that basically stated that counties have to show that there's adequate water before you can build new construction. We did not get the exact bill that we wanted, but we did secure several hundred million dollars for water improvement projects across the state. That's a good help. That's going to get people closer to having access to better water. But what we really know we need is to have a longer-term solution that can really assess whether projects that are being built are able to be constructed with adequate water.
Where do you plan to go from here in terms of addressing this issue?
You know, we're still taking a look at that. We're talking amongst ourselves about what the next step is. Again, we're really happy to get that funding, that long-term several hundred million dollars to try and invest in those projects, but it's still going to take time to know exactly what the longer-term solution is.
How well have environmental concerns been addressed in the budget this year?
You know, like we said earlier, we had some really good wins in the budget. Like, we had about $380 million of new environmental projects. So this is helping fund things that we've had on the books for a long time, but also some new ideas from people. One really good example is the Chimicon Forest Project over in Jefferson County. This is a pilot project to try and have sustainable working forests in our state. This is trying to get away from the clear cuts that we know not only hurt our environment, but are not really good long-term solutions for rural economic development. It's a one-time sale when you do something like that. So this is a project and an opportunity to try and get more of the ecological services from these forests that we know we need. So cleaning our water, cleaning the air, making sure that we are giving the agricultural communities that surround there the type of resources they need as well, and still generating that revenue from the sale of forests, from access to recreation, things like that. So little projects like that are a good example of how Washington State's trying to do new and exciting things that are going to benefit people in a lot of different communities.
Were there additional environmental successes during the 2018 Washington State legislative session you'd like to mention?
You know, there are some smaller bills around efficiency that were really exciting. We made some good progress on trying to get access to different types of fuels for our state so people have more options at the pump. But, you know, those were the really big wins we had this year, and it set us up really well to come back in 2019. You know, 2019 is a longer session, so we have a little bit more time to address some of these issues. And frankly, there was a lot of backed up issues this year. There's a lot of senators and representatives that had been stalled by the last few legislatures and had a lot of things to get off their chest. So we were really excited about the progress we made this year, and we have a lot of things we can do next year when we come back.
Would you say a few words about what was done for orca protection during the session?
Yeah, so there were a couple different bills that were trying to help the 76 orcas that we know we still have left in Puget Sound. That's down pretty significantly from the past few years. But we know that there's a few different ways we can help orcas. One of them that was addressed this year was trying to keep boats away from orcas. You know, We know people want to go up to them because they love these symbols of our state, but it can be really damaging to them when they're trying to communicate with each other. The noise from the boats screws up their echolocation. And trying to keep low-flying aircraft and drones and things away from them, again, because of that noise. You know, one big way we're trying to help the overall health of Puget Sound, but that also ends up obviously helping orcas survive, is trying to get the largest sources of toxins and pollutants out of Puget Sound. So the largest one of those is stormwater runoff, and we've done a lot of work to try and address that. You know, those projects that we talked about that are being funded across the state, but also trying to hold not just our legislature, but our local municipalities accountable to try and filter that water, make sure it's being cleaned before it ends up being put into our Puget Sound.
What was done for salmon protection?
You know, one big aspect we know we have that's a problem in the Northwest, but also in Puget Sound specifically, is a mix of different kinds of salmon in our waters. We know that we can't have invasive species spreading out and mixing and taking the food from our local Chinook salmon. So the legislature banned net pens to try and prevent Atlantic salmon spilling over to Puget Sound like we saw with that huge disaster. So what our legislature is really trying to do is make sure that we prioritize the local salmon efforts we have here and not allow outside salmon from the Atlantic to take over the space that they need.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Nick Abraham, Communications and Accountability Manager for Washington Conservation Voters and the Washington Environmental Council. Our topic is the outcome of environmental legislation in the 2018 Washington State Legislative Session. So you've alluded to this, but what is your overall characterization of the 2018 Washington State Legislative Session for environmental protection?
Yeah, you know, we made some really good progress this year. We had wins in the budget. We had the Oil Spill Prevention Act pass. We had toxic chemicals in food packaging on a path to being removed in the state. But we still have more progress. And, you know, there's big things we need to do next year. There's some projects we feel really good about, and then we made a lot of progress on this year, like with climate change. And there's other new things that we know we need to do to bring up in 2019. So, you know, we're continuously working to get the public to know more about this, to help put pressure on our legislators. That's a huge way that we can move the ball forward on a lot of these issues, but also continuing to press our legislators and keep talking about these issues because they know how important they are to people.
What do you consider the biggest disappointments from the 2018 Washington State Legislative Session?
Oh, man. We would have loved to have got something done, a much bigger win on addressing climate change. But that's why we took this to the ballot in 2018. You know, that's why we filed an initiative. Labor organizations, communities of color, health advocates, and environmental groups like ours, because we know how important this is, and we know how much people in the state want to address that. So, you know, we filed almost immediately after this bill did not pass, and we are going to be starting gathering signatures in April. So we are really excited about still getting that done in 2018, even if it didn't come through the legislature.
What are the details of what will be in the initiative?
Thanks for asking about that. You know, this initiative would be one of the most progressive climate policies in the entire country. What we're trying to do is make sure that we are investing in a clean energy economy that we know is going to be better for our health, better for our environment, and is going to push our state in a much better direction and keep us a leader on clean energy. So, you know, what we're trying to do is invest in things like clean energy, public transportation, better options for people at the pump, and trying to invest in our natural resources. So we're trying to make us more resilient to the effects that we know are coming from climate change, but also these are part of the tools we can use to help clean our air, clean our water, and make us more protected going into the future. So, you know, one of the biggest aspects of this is the enormous coalition that we have behind this. So we're talking about the largest labor organizations in our states, big community of color organizations, environmental advocates like us, but health professionals, faith groups. There are well over 100 groups behind this. So we feel really good about getting over the obstacles that we've seen in the last couple of years. You know, like we said before, the oil industry is an incredibly powerful set of companies that we know we can beat if we have a strong, powerful coalition like this behind us, and people that are listening able to come out and join us in this fight.
What price do you plan to put on carbon to raise the money for the proposals that you have?
You know, this is set at $15 a ton, which would raise over time, and it's set on the goals that we have as a state to start reducing emissions. So, you know, this is trying to hold large corporate polluters accountable. This is trying to make sure that the companies that are producing the most emissions are the ones being a part of the process to help clean this up.
What is the likely focus of your efforts in the 2019 legislative session?
You know, we're going to come back to address a lot of these issues around climate change, around clean energy, around efficiency. That's going to be a big priority. But, you know, we know that's going to be one. The other ones we're going to have to come back and talk to. You know, it always takes, it's always a process to try and come up with these since we have 20 different groups that are a part of us and we all have different things we work on. But that's going to for sure be one that we tackle, and the rest we're going to have to decide in the next couple months.
Would you also comment on the partnership agenda of the Environmental Priorities Coalition?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. That was a really exciting one this year. We, for the first time, publicly stated that we are going to focus on issues that groups outside of the Environmental Priorities Coalition focus on. So two huge ones that passed this year were around voting rights and protecting farm workers' health. Voting rights one was one of the biggest wins coming out of the 2018 legislature. They passed the Voting Rights Act for the first time. They passed automatic voter registration, pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds, and same-day voter registration. That puts Washington just about as one of the best states having access to democracy in the entire country. So, you know, that's something that we obviously care about. We know people in this state care about environmental issues. So when more people vote, the environment wins. So we're really excited about putting that. It's one of our big priorities this year. The second one was on pesticide drift. Basically, the bill that we endorsed was set around trying to warn farm workers that are on the specific farm that's being, if they're dumping pesticides on, and the surrounding farms around it. So that just gives them a couple days notice so that they can actually prepare and not have, you know, these pesticides we know hurt people's health, infecting their daily lives.
So those were the agenda items that did pass. How about the ones that didn't?
You know, there is a bill on solar fairness. Basically, that's around utilities giving people that produce their own energy a fair deal. So that did not get all the way through. That's probably one we'll come back with in 2019. But it's something that we feel really strongly is a powerful tool to help people take a little more ownership over their own energy creation.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Just that, you know, when more people get involved in this process, it helps push these types of initiatives forward. So as we're looking to 2019 and things like this ballot initiative, the more people we have involved and the more people we have paying attention to these types of issues, the better off our state's going to be, the better our environment's going to be, and we're all going to be able to have a much better, safer place to live.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Nick.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Dan.
You are just listening to Nick Abraham, Communications and Accountability Manager for the Washington Environmental Council and Washington Conservation Voters. For more information, check on the web at environmentalpriorities.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.